wanted to start this episode talking about how difficult it is for smaller sports to have recognition at this school. It seems so simple. The football team gets all the money and other sports like girls lacrosse get the scraps. Looking back, I almost wish it was that simple. Easy to point a finger, to make a few phone calls, publish this story, and it's fixed.
What we uncovered, however, is that the truth is complicated. If you asked me today, why is archery in the red, I probably couldn't give you a straight answer. It's less of a reason than a story, and unlike a fairy tale, there's no clear villain. It's just a collection of people trying their best, being held back by only their own humanity.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into the underrepresented and unknown extracurriculars that often don't get as much attention as they should. Keep listening as we talk to students, coaches, and the Niceville city manager to uncover the truth about the girls lacrosse team and archery club.
We're your hosts, Sam Knight
and Lily Sotomayor,
and this is Eagles Off Duty.
Football is undeniably the largest and most loved sport at Niceville, but that's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Here's Mr. Morello on why.
There's no set-aside funds for athletics in the Okaloosa County School District for any sports. All sports are up to themselves. So, you know, whatever a sport would bring in for their gate sales or their program sales or donations from the community, we would want them to keep them for themselves and work with their players and make that the best experience that they possibly could for their own individual sport, team, or club. So,
football's popularity has much less to do with their endorsement by the school and much more to do with their endorsement by the community. Throughout the sport's history, it has had an unusual hold on the American South. The list of largest high school football stadiums is overcrowded with southern states: Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, Mississippi, and finally, Florida. So it makes sense that the organizations with the highest funding are the football team, and second to them, the Eagle Pride Band, seen at every football game.
Archery is an incredibly expensive but niche sport. In Florida, there are only a few archery programs and even fewer competitions available. Here in the Panhandle, archery is a dying sport. There used to be teams at every nearby school, but Niceville's team is now a flash in the pan, so to speak. Due to the pricey equipment and limited resources, it's not free to join up, which can turn people away from an already small sport, especially when compared to football, a huge industrial complex often regarded as the South's second religion.
To find more insight into the archery club's issues, I'm joined by Coach Schickhart, who is here to share his story. Hello, Coach Schickhart. Thank you so much for being here today. Will you tell the viewers a little bit about your background in archery?
Yes, my name's Michael Schickhart. I'm the coach for the archery club. I'm also Hannah Laura Schickhart's father. My daughter showed interest and said she had a couple of friends at the school that were interested in archery. And, you know, she had interest in forming a club, so I figured I would take it upon myself to learn the skill and become the coach for the club to help her out.
So how did the archery club come to be exactly?
My daughter, again, had interest in forming the club because she has always been interested in archery and found a couple of other students that were interested in the same. She poked around trying to find different options, and there aren't really any in the Panhandle. So at this point, she took it upon herself to form the club to garner interest from fellow students. And once she had enough people that were interested in doing it, she approached the staff. And at that point, they gave her a loan and equipment was purchased.
Awesome. So what is one difficulty you and the club have been coaching has faced as an underrepresented extracurricular?
Absolutely that. And again, everything comes back to funding. A lack of funding initially, a lack of fundraising. A lot of established sports are already well-established clubs are already have relationships with different businesses. So we're finding difficulty finding businesses that are interested in participating or contributing to the club.
So just for the people that don't know, can you describe to me what a typical set of archery equipment looks like, how much it costs?
So for one club member to shoot, to fire arrows at a target, requires a target's about $45 to $50. The bow is around $250. The arrows, they usually come in a pack of 60, and I think that's about $90. So that's your basic amount right there. So $250, $300, about $400 per one setup. And I think currently they have four targets, four setups. We can have four archers firing simultaneously.
Wow, so that's almost $1,600 worth of equipment. So what has the club done to fundraise in terms of covering those costs?
So they have been canvassing the community, again, the local businesses, a lot of them are already established with other clubs or other sports. They're still working out the kinks in the fundraising department. I believe the efforts will probably be doubled next year. We'll see what the future brings, but that's where we're at right now.
That's got to be a challenge. So archery is a sports club and not a sports team. Does that bring any unique challenges in terms of your registration and relationship with the school?
I don't see any challenges in that regard. It's actually a benefit to the members. It's not competitive quite yet. It's not a lettering sport. We're not looking to compete with other schools quite yet. So right now, the club members actually get to enjoy the fundamentals, the learning aspect of it, and a way to blow off steam in the afternoon after a rough day of class. They come out there and they can put arrows on a target. So that's, I would say, the benefit.
What are club's goals for the future?
Again, we're looking to get competitive. We're looking to become a lettered sport in the future. We have to get a BAI, Basic Archery Instructor course, under my belt so that we can actually attend competitions. But that's the expectation, is to become a lettered sport.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. How can people get involved with archery if they're curious?
Well, if they're curious and they're interested in either A, donating, or B, joining, at Niceville Archery on Instagram is your best bet to get a hold of the club.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
I appreciate it as well. Thank you very much.
My name is Kelly Lafitte, and this episode is sponsored by Northwest Florida State College, Rolnick Realty, Bird Seafood Market, the NHS Theater Department, Eagle's Nest, Monica Atkinson, Dr. James Norton, Trisha Brunson, Betsy Christensen, Vivian James, Mary Taylor Sims, and Mid Bay News. To hear your name or business, visit eagle-echo.com/sponsor. The story continues in a moment. Stay with us.
We have learned about the struggles of interest in fundraising the archery club faces from Coach Schuchart, but what about the students who have decided to participate in it? Today, I am joined by Cassandra Price to determine what sparked hers and others' interest in the uncommon sport. Hi, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. Can you introduce yourself and let everyone know who you are?
Hi, my name is Cassandra Price. I'm an 11th grader at Niceville High School, and I'm the secretary for Archery Club.
So how long have you been practicing archery? What kind of motivated you to start getting involved with it?
Well, I've been doing archery for the past few years, but with school I haven't had enough time to set some practice time. But ever since I heard Hannelore was starting the club, I wanted to help any way I could.
Awesome. So can you describe for me what a typical club meeting or training looks like?
Well, first we start by getting things set up. A few members have their own equipment, but us as a club, we have group stuff. And then we just go in groups of four and shoot around 10 arrows, get some instruction from coach. And yeah, we just go back and forth and practice. And yeah, we've seen a lot of improvement so far.
Awesome. So what is something that the club struggles with the most?
Honestly, I would say probably interest and funding, because I mean those two are tied together. We are definitely in need of getting more people to like invest in our club, since there's not a lot of competitions around. There isn't a lot of movement surrounding archery.
What advice would you give someone who is interested in joining archery?
Definitely check it out, even if you're only going to show, or even if you just like to stop by and see what a practice looks like. Definitely take a look at it, and it is really fun. You will pick it up pretty quickly, and yeah, it's definitely a great opportunity. We're hoping on starting some state competitions next year, so that's always a great opportunity for newcomers.
So far, have you participated in any competitions or events, and if so, can you share some highlights or memories?
Yeah, so we haven't done any official ones, but just last week we did have our first mini competition. And yeah, we just, you know, practice with little brackets, and we'll have a awards ceremony, I think, next week. And then, yeah, no, we're doing some fun stuff. I think next week we're doing a zombie apocalypse-themed archery meeting, so.
Awesome. What do you find interesting about archery that other sports don't necessarily have?
Well, seeing as archery club is more of a club, I guess, you know, like some schools it's or other sports, it's a lot more strict, you know, like soccer, team. Yeah, it's definitely like more open and better for scheduling.
And so lastly, what do you hope to see the archery club achieve in the future?
I'm really a big fan of like getting involved in the competition, so I'm definitely looking forward to that next year, getting more involved.
Great. All right, thank you so much for joining us today.
Perfect. Thank you.
Lack of interest concerning certain extracurriculars at NHS puts clubs at a disadvantage in terms of finances and participation, archery being an exact example of such. If you are interested in supporting the archery club in their endeavors or in joining, you can head to Mrs. Hoffman's room in 103 for more information.
This episode is brought to you by the Midway Rotary Club, Eglin Federal Credit Union, Cynthia Zimmerman, Anna Welch, Babe Brown, Max Brown, the Lafitte Family, Beverly Barrifield, Sharon Murphy Duran, Gerald Amos Horton, Ada Lisa Belmy, and Mr. Hernandez. To hear your name or business, visit eagle-echo.com/sponsor. Up next, Chapter 2, Bureaucracy and Bullies.
If you think the halls at Niceville feel crowded, you aren't alone. In fact, the school is 4 times smaller than it really should be.
The recommendation, if a county wanted to build a brand new high school, the recommendation is that you have 40 acres. 40 acres to build a high school. That's the Florida DOE recommendation. We have 10 acres here. So our school is on a quarter of the size that's recommended for a school our size.
But this problem goes farther than just crowded hallways and filled up lunch tables. Even our sports teams are in a constant battle over Niceville's most scarce resource, space.
They're doing great things, and I love that they're here with the adding of lacrosse, girls and boys lacrosse, JV girls and boys lacrosse. I mean, we already had kind of like this, trying to get space on practice fields, game fields, whatever. And now you add 4 more teams into that mix, and it has become a very dicey dynamic for who and how we get more time.
Long-established teams usually get first dibs, but even they have problems with the limited space. For example, the Color Guard and the Eagle Pride Band often hold practices late into the night just to have the room to execute their complex choreography and marching patterns. Even though the administration knows about this, it's not an easy problem to fix. Mr. Morello named one possible solution.
The fix, I don't know, but there is a parcel of land between the post office and the softball field that is very interesting to the school district, let's say that. And I know that is owned by Ruckel Properties, and they are in talks about potentially acquiring that parcel of land, which I don't know what their plans for it are, the school district, but I know my ideas or thoughts or suggestions would be allot that to Niceville High School for some much-needed expansion of practice space.
I decided to investigate his opportunity further, so I emailed the head of operational services at the school district, who told me that they, quote, are looking at closing on the purchase of that particular land sometime this summer, and also, quote, any developments will be done with careful consideration for the needs of our schools and community. This is just one tiny sliver of land, which may or may not go to our school at all. Either way, it's really not going to make a huge difference. I have good news, though. Morello is not the only one working on this.
Land use in Niceville is difficult because we're landlocked. On the south side, we have water, and then we're surrounded on the other 3 sides by Eglin Air Force Base. And so there is no additional land for Niceville to grow. And so we have to make do with what we have.
This is David Deitch, Niceville's current city manager. According to Mid Bay News, Deitch was an ex-Air Force colonel who retired after 24 years of service.
What we're doing right now is out at the Twin Oaks Mullet Festival site, where we currently have ball fields where all of our students play their various sports, is we are in negotiations with Eglin Air Force Base for a new 30-year lease for that 45-acre parcel out there. And once we secure that new lease, we will contract with an engineering firm who does work to create sports facilities with the goal of creating dedicated turf fields out in that area for football and lacrosse and baseball and Little League and T-ball and all that stuff.
I think his plans are quite lofty. However, I'm optimistic. Everything I've seen from Manager Deitch and his administration have been incredibly promising. I think the real measure of a good leader, at least at our local level, is not how quickly they're able to get things done, but how quickly they can deal with setbacks. Given the small scale and resources of the Niceville City government, every project is a huge undertaking for them. But throughout interviews and meeting minutes, Manager Deitch has consistently been able to respond and adapt to problems as they arise.
Case in point, he has two plans for expanding sports fields. The Twin Oaks site is just his plan A.
We're also in the process of working with Eglin Air Force Base and the county on a different project, different but similar, for what Eglin calls the orphan properties. And this is federal property that is located in the city of Niceville, but it's federal property. So most of it is north of College Boulevard, but south of Highway 293, the bypass road. The Eglin Air Force Base has asked us to, as a county and municipalities, to come up with a strategic plan. Part of the orphan properties that are located in the Niceville area were for additional ball fields, pickleball courts, basketball courts, et cetera, et cetera. We're working towards all that. It's going to be years in the making, but we are actively working to create a number of new ball fields, if we can get this orphan property from the Department of Defense and the Air Force.
And you know what? I believe him. It may take years, but I think Deitch will get it done.
Before we continue, we'd like to thank Shauna Christ, Keith Lamb, Eliza Missioner, Charles Law, Mary Norton, Lieutenant Colonel James Tucker, Tammy Jennings, Donna Lily Wicks, the Faribault family, Karen Hartley Filmgim, Pamela Smith, and Deborah Duncan. To hear your name or business, visit eagle-echo.com/sponsor. This is Eagles Off Duty. We'll be back in a moment.
At the end of the day, the land is only worth the people who play on it. So I decided to follow the girls' lacrosse team and get a better understanding of the challenges they face. Here's Elizabeth Kilman on how she joined the team.
Well, I started lacrosse my sophomore year. At first, I grew up in a big city, so I didn't really know what lacrosse was. I grew up around like soccer and baseball and basketball, and those were like the sports I really knew about. But until I moved here in Florida, my one friend, my freshman year, her name's Ella Kresbach, she actually introduced me to the sport, and it really made me find a team, and I always wanted to play a sport. I wasn't really athletic growing up, so.
She's being a bit humble here. Her teammates call her a killer on the field, both because of her last name and her outstanding performance. But her story really resonated with the other players. One thing that I heard so frequently was how the focus on finesse and strategy lowers the barrier to entry and allows newer players to grow from beginners to stars.
A lot of sports you see with like softball and soccer, a lot of people start when they're like little kids. For lacrosse, you can learn it right off the bat. You could start your sophomore, your freshman year, your junior, or even your senior year, and really, you know, get down the fundamentals and play the game. Actually, at our last scrimmage game, a girl named Courtney, she's never played lacrosse. This was like her first month coming out, and she scored a goal. And that was like really crazy to me that like only within a month of lacrosse that someone's able to score a goal against varsity players on other teams that have been playing for the past like 5 years.
For some, the lower barriers makes girls lacrosse seem too easy, almost fake, when compared to other sports. Another player, Joy Pagan, describes her experience with shame and ostracization from people who have never even seen them play.
Telling people that I play lacrosse, like at the school, like outside of school is fine, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, you play lacrosse, that's so amazing, you know? But if I'm like in school and talk to people in the school, I'm like, hey, I play lacrosse, like I'm on the girls' team. I normally don't get a good reaction. I was in class one time and we were doing like introductions, and I was like, I play lacrosse, and no joke, two girls started laughing at me.
This perception is completely at odds with the girls I spoke to. Just because the barriers to join the team are lower doesn't mean they work any less than the other teams at Niceville. I don't know where this perception comes from, but it needs to end now. This team works their butts off.
We spend a lot of time into our sport. Like, we're really committed to it. I know a lot of our girls like are even getting signed onto D1 colleges for lacrosse. So we're a good team and we have great players. And I just wish more people could see that and to would appreciate it a lot more.
And if people would only watch a game or two, I think they really would appreciate girls lacrosse. What I saw in that field was incredible. The plays are dynamic and flowing, and you can really see the importance of cohesive movement and teamwork. The ball traveled across their sticks with an electricity, and they twirled, and they moved it around the field with a combination of raw strength and delicate precision. I really saw girls lacrosse as the best parts of every sport. And along that line, I'd like to play some words of wisdom from their coach, David Connor.
If I would say anything, I would to every athlete, I don't care, boy, girl, whatever, play as many sports as you can in high school, because you're in Niceville one time. And your sport, you don't want to get burned out of a sport, but you can hear coaching from different types of people and in different ways. So I would encourage people to play more sports and just come out and give us a look. They work really hard for the school.
Unfortunately, due to production delays, their season is now over. But you can find their games for next year at eagle-echo.com/girlslax.
Our show today was made possible by Judy Byrne Riley, Sherry Moore Lucas, the Martinez family, Jimmy Boiserly, Gina White, Martha Warner, Dana Fowler Wilson, Tom and Martha Woodcock, Sherman and Lori Eller, Linda Ivanchik, Tim Ryan, Deanna Hodge-Galak, and Hope McCormick.
If you find value in our journalism, please consider supporting us at eagle-echo.com/sponsor. Again, that's eagle-echo.com/sponsor.
This episode was produced by Hannah-Laura Schuchart and edited by Kenley Lafitte.
Stories and interviews were contributed by Annalise Smedley, Hannah-Laura Schuchart, Lily Settlemyer, and myself, Sam Knight.
Additional script editing was done by Hannah-Laura Schuchart, Lily Settlemyer, and Sam Knight.
The background music throughout this episode, and what you're hearing now, was composed by Kevin MacLeod. His music is available under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license, and you can find his songs at incompetech.com. And finally, a special thanks to Miss Humphrey, our club sponsor, and all of our wonderful guests.
To be notified when the next episode releases, you can subscribe to our show on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Instagram at Niceville_EagleEcho.
And this is Eagles Off Duty.